Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thought?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Welcome to another tantalizing episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse Harley. And with me is the incredibly slippery Reese Waters. Reese, welcome to another terrifying,
tantalizing,
exciting, tumultuous episode where it's all ASMR all the time.
Apart from the politics and the comedy.
Reese, do your famous ASMR bit. Okay, that's fucking, you're ruining it. You're ruining it as you
sorry,
do.
I've just got a very moist mouth. Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name's Reese Waters.
I don't really like him that much, but boy, does he have a moist mouth.
Yeah. It's like a dog having a wet nose. It means they're healthy. This is the show for people who hate politics but care about bigger stuff. Jesse, you've got to loosen it if you want to turn it.
I'm trying. How do I work?
No, see the dial there? That's it.
Which? This style?
This, look. This. Okay. Jesse's just destroying some very important equipment. The bigger ring. This ring here, see? Just break the microphone
stand.
Break
the microphone,
yeah. Oh, they're only the expensive ones for the studio. You just do what you want, Jesse. Anyway, I've got some exciting news.
Okay.
We had some gifts in the mail.
Okay.
And you can see them on the desk. They're amazing.
They are amazing.
We had a letter from Anna and Uma. So they sent us some homemade slippers.
I love, it blows my mind that people send us so much homemade stuff. We don't even ask for it, like the sycophants that we are. Is that a right word? Sycophant for that?
I don't know.
It just sounded impressive. So I thought I'd throw it out there.
Loudmouth pricks.
Is that, yeah, right. But like people just send us stuff. We don't deserve this stuff.
These are amazing. So thank you. She wrote a lovely handwritten letter. Thanks so much for being interested in trying out my Oma's slippers. I hope you both love them as much as I do. The and they help you through the brutal East Coast winter. Although Jesse is a half size larger. Oh, that's just admin about a foot size because we exchanged emails. you two will have to duel out over who gets which pay, preferably not to the death for the sake of the podcast. She doesn't want us to fight to the death over these slippers.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. For those who are interested, the slippers can be found at etsy.com/shop/ Omas Crafts Canada. That's OMAS Crafts Canada.
So Oma is the name of the nickname for her grandmother.
Yeah.
And her grandmother, what's the story behind that again?
This is what her grandmother does. She knits these and she's helping her grandmother sell them online.
They're very cozy looking.
And it's a traditional Dutch thing.
Oh, cool.
They're amazing. Do you want, so we've got two pairs here.
Let me check out the blue ones there.
You're on the blue ones.
Let me take a look. Wow. I remember when she had emailed us about this and I had requested that she knit your face onto my slippers and my face onto your slippers.
That doesn't fit within the traditional Dutch knitting style. So
putting our faces on there. Yeah, exactly.
They do look really, these are going to be my slippers for the office, I think. When I'm in,
you
in
wear
the
slippers at the, yeah, that makes a bit
sense. Well, I can take my winter boots off then and put these wonderful things. Anyway.
They're so cozy looking.
I think it's wonderful that you are supporting your grandmother and helping her build her online presence. Your mama.
So you know what? Pause the podcast and go take a look at these delightful slippers. Dear listener, where's the shop again, Reese?
The shop is
Oma's shop.
Etsy.com/shop/ Oma's Crafts Canada. So, and you should try them. And they're wonderful. I'm gonna put on my foot.
Just one foot?
Just one. I'm gonna try one.
All right.
It's so good. I'm gonna try the other one. Oh, that's good. Oh.
I have boots that are laced up, so I'll do it later. But it does.
I feel like I can skate on the wood flooring as well. It's great.
Hello, Nex. Can I see you try it?
Not only are my feet warm.
Get up from the chair. I want to see you skate around the office here. He's trying. He's like, let's see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's sliding around. Look at that. He's actually doing it.
So you not only have you worn my feet, you have also saved me time and energy because I can just slide through the office now.
Reese, you missed an opportunity. Not only have you warmed my feet, but you've warmed our hearts. Come on.
Yeah.
I should fucking write for Hallmark.
And tell your Uma she's awesome and she should keep knitting. And I hope that she takes the internet by storm in a good way.
Look how much love we give you when you give us free shit. Dear listener.
Yeah. So if you want to send her free stuff and have you say nice things about you, carry on. We won't
stop. Yeah, we won't stop.
We're going to stop you anyway. I'm keeping these on. They're great. I think that covers small talk. That's slipper talk.
That's slipper talk. All right.
Yeah. Do you want to know what this episode's about?
I'm dying to know, Reese.
I've called it Polyev's Secret Shelf Signals.
Oh, fucking love talking about Polyev. insane so, man.
So this is just I keep getting, because I look at political content, mm-hmm. the algorithm keeps giving me his videos and I feel like he puts a new video out every day, sometimes like three or four videos, and he's constantly producing online video because everybody knows it's a really good strategy.
Right.
Online video is a really good promotional tool and it hacks the algorithm. And he is consistently bumping out video, but it is definitely quantity and not quality.
Content is king, man.
You can't make four videos like in a week about what he does and what he talks about and the people he meets with and expect it to be great. So this video literally came out yesterday and I was like, I watched it and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay.
Who conceived, okayed and worked on this and then released it going, this is a great idea.
I'm very excited. Yeah. All right.
So it was November the 16th this year. And
when the video came out?
Yeah. The attached text was, young people want to take back control of their lives. They want to own a home, keep more of their hard-earned money and move up in the world. That was the tagline underneath. I'm going to play.
I'll agree with that. That's pretty.
It's not untrue, but what? Right, yeah. Just, I'm going to show you the video.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, God. It's Polyev on one side and then like
a young person,
a young in quotes. So like a guy wearing like a plaid sweater, a plaid hoodie and a brush cut with a like a Movember like fucking mustache going on. This is the young guy. All right.
Hang on, I'm
going
to play it.
All right.
But it's insane. Like, this was not the Canada that you and I grew up in. We were kids. everyone knew that if you got a decent job, you could have a house. And you can't take control of your life if you don't have a home. You can't build up credit history, collateral, savings for your eventual retirement in the form of home equity. And of course, you can't raise kids in your parents' basement or in a 500 square foot apartment. So people see in me the opportunity, because I'm going to knock down the gatekeepers and allow more home building, stop the money printing that has inflated housing prices, the opportunity that one day home ownership will be possible for them again. And that sense of that taking back control of their lives has inspired a lot of young people to join my campaign.
That is it. That's all it is.
That's the whole video.
That's the whole video.
So hold on. You didn't start it in the middle?
No, that is the video.
So the kid didn't say a fucking word.
He is talking at... He's literally
could have been
talking,
a delivery
he's
man.
In his office talking at somebody who looks a bit young.
Yeah, could have been a guy dropping off some packages. Looked, like, hey, come in and be this video. I'll give you $50.
If you didn't know any context, there. It would look like a principal lecturing a student at a high school in his office.
It does. Because
he just found some crack cocaine in his sandwich box. And he's just going, hey, guys, just drugs are bad. You know, that kind of thing. He's like, hey, I represent young people. Watch me talk at a young person in my office.
So essentially what it is.
And also the other thing, he's a very low energy, very low energy elevator pitch. Because he's and that's why I'm going to take back control. It's almost like he's bored of his own talking points.
So I got to say, I'm not, I'll preface this by saying, and I'm sure the shock and surprise on your face at the moment will be astounding, but I am not an economist. That, I know, right?
Yeah, no, but you're the kind of person who's interested in...
No, I'm just saying, I'm not an economist, but... And then I have a little spiel to say after that about the
economy. Yeah, yeah, it's like when people say, I'm not a doctor, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he can't just will the housing crisis away because he wants it to. Like, it's, and it's not just a housing crisis as much... the housing crisis is separate. It's the whole... The market for real estate has a thing. It's just, it has a life cycle. Okay. It inflates and it inflates and it inflates and then it explodes and then it starts again and it inflates and it inflates and it inflates and then it explodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been caught when the bubble popped in 2008.
I almost got caught. I had a bunch of money to invest. I was going to invest it in real estate. I didn't understand real estate. So I was jogging and I was listening to real estate podcast and I was learning all about it. And then I hurt my knee and I stopped jogging. And because I stopped jogging, I stopped listening to the podcast. And because I stopped listening to the podcast, I didn't invest. And then the crash happened. And I'm kind of glad for it because I would have been in debt.
I love how that changed its trajectory.
I have a bum knee now that has lasted me for decades, but I didn't get fucked by the real estate. Anyway, the whole idea is like, you know, unless there are regulations put on like caps in our economy in general, saying like you can't make more than this, you know, it's just going to keep going. He can't wish like what is it? In order for young people to be able to afford houses in today's market, he has to somehow magically bring the prices of all houses down or magically make everyone have like $100,000 salary every year. What the like, he can't just say houses going to be, you know what he did say is I'm going to make, I'm going to, he said something to the along the lines of I'm going to build more houses. That doesn't fix a fucking thing.
No, because they're probably going to be market value.
Nobody's going to be able to afford those houses.
Market value
exactly,
houses.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. 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 You lucky kid. You know what? Yeah. You can't grow, you know, you can't honestly, build towards retirement. You can't raise a family without a house. I'm going to build more houses. Good luck owning them. Good luck fucking affording them. But I'm going to build them and I'm going to make them think that it was a good idea and you should vote for me.
But what he says in that video, I wasn't really listening to, because apart from the bit where he said to that person, not the Canada we grew up in, and then points at that person, even though he's clearly younger than him and they brought him in to be a young person, he's going, no, you know, like we grew up in. I'm like, he's like 15 years younger than you, Pierre. Why did you bring this token young person in and then pretend you're the same age? He's like, no, I'm still cool. I don't know if you noticed the digital camera movement they put in. They were like, this is fucking boring. Let's put some really bad digital camera movement in at the end.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they decided to go
weirdly.
And then
edited.
They decided to go handheld.
Yeah. They're in the middle. suddenly there was a third cameraman who got up off of a chair and like walked in,
ran towards his face.
Yeah. It was like there was a weird 5-second shot and then back to the digital push and zoom. It was a very, very strangely edited video.
I feel like is that there's a bunch of interns that he's got making, or very like young, inexperienced videographers. He's right. basically getting to make as much video as content. And I think they're learning the craft of as course, they go.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we were all there.
We could start an entirely separate podcast based entirely on
analyzing political videos.
No, just Polyev's.
Just like Polyev videos. No, but that's the thing. Like, I thought that video in itself, it's not like you don't watch it and you don't fall off your chair. Like, it's not the most standout thing. It's just a great example of how shitty a lot of the video is he puts out.
Yeah,
and how it's the same messages over and over and over again. He's like, quick, get a young person in here. We'll just knock out a video. That's where I get the impression of it is. And the people who work from like, yeah, whatever. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know how to hold a camera? Yeah, roughly.
I mean, this is what we've been saying for a long time now. It's all fluff. He's selling the shine. He's not, yeah, there's no substance.
That burns you versus Trudeau's cuddly fluff.
Yeah. There's no substance to what he's saying. He's selling. He's still even in that video, he doesn't explain how he's going to do anything. He's talking nothing about nothing. He's just saying again, it's all fluff. It's all, he's selling the veneer. He's selling the shine, the oomph, but he's not providing any substance whatsoever in anything I've ever heard him say. Ever. Now, maybe there is stuff out there where he talks like in detail about what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but I haven't heard of it. I haven't heard anyone explain it. I've gone on Twitter and everyone's like, come on, Polyev, please just give us a list. What are you going to do? Nothing. Yeah, never responds.
He doesn't want to give away his policy plans until closer to the election, Jesse. Don't be so cynical. none of the stuff that we're discussing was the most interesting thing about that video for me.
Okay.
Was the best fact that the about the video
was that the young kid didn't say a fucking word.
No, that was brilliant. Like, hey, I understand young people. I'm going to talk. Look at me talk at them. I love that. But the best part is we're in his office and he has strategically placed objects on the shelves behind.
Oh, I didn't see this.
So that he can signal to you in a very subconscious, subtle way who he is and what he stands for and what he's passionate about and what he thinks is worthy of shelf space in his office.
All right, let me say it again.
And I have gone frame by frame through.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. So it's to make him seem relatable to the youth of today.
Yeah, or to just the electorate in general. So first of all, there's a giant hashtag.
Oh, you've actually like freeze framed and chopped them out and then put them in a document.
I know.
Can you zoom in?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hashtag just inflation.
A sign and also a conservative baseball cap, which isn't a Trump hat. It's blue.
It's an ugly baseball hat in general.
Also, the other thing I noticed was unopened craft beer. So, you know, he's one of the dudes. Just two bottles of craft beer, not in the fridge. Apparently room temperature is fine for Pierre. You weirdo.
He's never drank a beer before. He doesn't know how it works.
He's not old enough. Apparently. I drink beer with the dudes. Then the other thing is a copy of the Magna Carta.
Okay, and what is the Magna Carta?
So the Magna Carta, or the Magna Carta Libertatum, is commonly known as the Magna Carta, Carta is a royal charter of rights agreed upon by King John of England at Runnymede near Windsor on the 15th of July 1215. It is a document guaranteeing English political liberties by declaring the sovereign to be subject to the rule of law, and documents the liberties of free men. So it says things like providing church, you know, option of choosing like which church you go to, reforms the law, justice, and controls the behavior of royal officials. It's basically one of the first documents in Western civilization that outlines civil liberties.
Okay.
Which is good.
Doesn't sound so bad.
But it's like a super like... It's not something I remember doing in school, but I'm from the UK, and it is like a super niche kind of, oh, this is a, you know, from this point onwards, like certain like traditions and things, like the judiciary system is based off these ideals.
Right.
But is also used on a regular basis today by conspiracy theorists to use to say that they don't need to follow coronavirus regulations.
What the fuck? So, how? What?
So is used the most I've ever heard it talked about is in conspiracy circles these days, where they're going, no, I don't have to wear a mask because that's in violation of my Magna Carta rights. If you don't like it, call King John.
Oh my God.
So okay. Maybe that's not his reason. Maybe he just wants to show that he's a politics nerd. And he wants people to geek out. But then my favorite thing, one of my favorite things,
right,
a giant book that says Einstein on the side. So, you know, he's fucking smart.
That's hilarious.
I've never read it, but you know I'm clever because I've got an Einstein book.
Wow.
If he's got an Einstein book, I'm sold. He might not be giving us... The reason he's not giving you detail, Jesse, is because he's so smart you wouldn't understand it.
I wouldn't understand it.
He's got an Einstein book.
Yeah.
A really thick Einstein book. There's a ton of words in there. I bet it's really hard. There's nothing in that. There's no pictures.
It's just a photo book.
There's no pictures. Just
different photos of Einstein's
no
face.
No part of that book pops up. No. So fucking smart. And he's got glasses. So you know he's smart. Then the other book is, it took me ages to work out. It's really hard to read that one. You can see that the resolution on the video is shite.
It is.
So
what was he even like? Yeah. So nobody watching the video would be able to read that. We can't even read it.
No, I know, but it's done in his order. They obviously rushed this video because the production, no set design happened, because you can assume from the production value of the video,
right,
that it was rushed. So this is just what is in his office. So I'm like, this is a great, he didn't have time to rearrange or anything, maybe. So.
All right, what's that?
So this is a book called A Life in Progress by Conrad Black. I don't know if you know who Conrad Black is.
Sounds familiar.
So he's a Canadian-born British former newspaper publisher, businessman, and writer. His full title is Conrad Moffat Black, Baron Black of Cross Harbor. Really down-to-earth blue-collar guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So he...
I don't know anything about him.
He founded the... what's the news? The National Press? What's the Canadian newspaper? I can't think of it. He founded like a newspaper in Canada. He's in publishing and he's a writer. He writes a lot of books.
Cool.
In 2007, he was convicted on 4 counts of fraud in the U.S. District Court in Chicago. And while 2 of the criminal fraud charges were overturned on appeal, a conviction for felony fraud and obstruction of justice was upheld. He was sentenced to 42 months in prison and a fine of $125,000.
Jesus.
In 2018, he wrote a glowing biography of U.S. President Donald Trump. And in 2019, Trump granted him a presidential pardon from jail.
Wow.
Black is a friend of Trump and has written flatteringly about him in opinion articles and in his 2018 book, Donald Trump, A President Like No Other.
Okay.
So he's got a book written...
Right.
By
best friend of Trump.
Best friend of Trump who went to prison and was pardoned in what is arguably a very corrupt way of getting out of jail.
I feel like it's just reminding me, like you talking about Trump and the similarities between Trump and Polyev, which is that, and we've kind of brushed on this before in previous episodes about how you don't have to actually do anything great yourself as long as you're pointing out other people's flaws.
Yes.
You know, and so that's what Trump did, and he did it really, really well, because let's face it, the American political system is heavily broken and it needs a giant rewrite, basically.
Most political systems
Most political systems do, yes. And Trump went in, guns a-blazing, almost, drain almost literally. Swamp. Yeah. And just pointed it out. It was like, look how broken this is. And he didn't have to actually fucking do anything great. He just had to keep pointing out how broken the system was to get people on board. And then once he had all kinds of people, raving fans on board, who agreed like, yeah, that's right, the system's broken, he could do whatever the fuck he wanted. And he did. And it seems like Polyev's going down the same road. Is Canada's system perfect? Fuck no, it's not perfect. It needs a rewrite too. They all do, right? And that's all Polyev's doing. He's like, look at, oh my God, people can't afford houses. Oh, geez. And that's probably Trudeau's fault, you know? And so I'm going to build, let's talk, you know what, it'd be a shame. You should have houses. Vote for me. Like, just, yeah.
What the fuck?
That's just my impression of
you, boy. Like, what do you want? A unicorn made of silk?
Yeah, three. I can give you three. And you know why I can give you three unicorns made of silk? Because the Canadian system we have right now is broken.
It's almost like a magic eight ball. He shakes it and it comes up and it just says, talk about inflation. And then he shakes it again and it just comes up, talk about houses. Shakes it up again because of affordability.
Polyev, how are you going to fix the Canadian system? Video over.
Yeah. But you know when it goes handheld at the end?
Yeah.
This video. That's when I noticed the most amazing, insightful part of the whole thing.
Okay.
Because for a glimpse, you get a glimpse of another book that I think says so much about him. Check. Can you read what that says?
I'm assuming it says Napoleon.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, now, why would you present a book about Napoleon in your office?
To be fair, I don't know a lot about Napoleon Bonaparte.
So Napoleon was known. I've got a little bit because I thought that might happen.
Thanks.
So essentially, he's someone who rose from relative obscurity and not from a wealthy family or anything necessarily to end up being a very powerful emperor in France, and was a master strategist on the battlefield, modernized the French military to turn them into big power, seen as like a super smart strategist who completely just changed Europe using the force of will. So the ideal kind of like self-made man, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Went from being, hey, I'm just a growing up in a village in Corsica. Now I'm the emperor of an empire. So most historians basically say that his remarkable personality was the thing that got him to where he was. He had a strength of ambition to go from like a small village to basically rule over most of Europe. And there's a historian called George Effie Rood, and he stresses that a rare combination of will, intellect, and physical vigor allowed him to achieve those goals. He was not physically imposing. He was only 5'6". But in one-on-one situations, he had like a hypnotic impact on people, seemingly bent the strongest leaders to his will. He understood military technology. He was an innovator, using the financial, bureaucratic, and diplomatic resources of France. He could rapidly dictate a series of complex commands to his subordinates, keeping in mind where major units were expected at each future point, and they considered him a chess master who could see how to play the best moves ahead. So you can see why, like, Polyev, obviously,
right.
He's like, yeah, I'm the master mover. I'm going to move all these pieces around. I can go from relative obscurity as a rich kid in Calgary
to one of the youth,
to the Prime Minister of Canada.
A ute.
However,
I mean, he is kind of a master manipulator. I'll give him that.
So that's it to me. I'm like, that's his role model is fucking Napoleon. But there's also a dark side Napoleon.
Okay.
Like most historical figures.
Right.
So Napoleon maintained strict, efficient work habits, prioritizing what is needed to be done. And he just didn't have any tolerance for people who didn't fall in line, essentially.
Okay.
So before he crowned himself emperor, he basically held a rigged election where voters were not allowed to debate the issues. And if they voted no, he recorded the name and address of the people who didn't want him to be emperor.
Oh, wow.
Just for fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also he got the police to suppress any criticism. And he built essentially a combination of a ruthless police state run by rigged elections. And he had a staple of populist dictatorial kind of techniques to maintain control. He oversaw the production of plays in theaters in France, and if he disapproved of the plays, your career was over.
Wow. And he also, I didn't know this about him. That's fucking nuts.
He also controlled the press, dropping the numbers of newspapers in Paris from 60 to 4.
This is Napoleon?
Napoleon, yeah.
Holy shit.
So
I didn't know that. That's so crazy.
Which I love, because all Poilievre talks about is defunding the CBC.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm like, history rhymes.
Right.
So if we use Napoleon's life as a gate, as what this is this what Poilievre's using as his game plan?
Right.
Then like it's all there. You could just see it.
We should start calling him Poilievre Bonaparte.
Poilievre Bonaparte. Pierre Bonaparte.
Pierre Bonaparte, right. Pierre Bonaparte. Yeah, that'd be two last names, yeah.
So anyway, and this is just like a 56-second video we were able to extract all this information about him from one shitty video. We've put more thought into this video than they did.
They did, yeah. So, we spent more time talking about it than they did making it.
So yeah, did you enjoy that?
I did, yeah. I like talking about Poilievre because he's the next crazy, but he's not crazy. He's not as crazy. That's the thing. He's not crazy. He's not like...
He drinks room temperature beer, Jesse.
He's frightening. He scares me because he's actually very, I'm guessing he's highly intelligent and incredibly manipulative and probably a sociopath. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I mean that in a literal sense. Like he's probably literally a sociopath, you know, and he's just doing this for his own fucking gain. That's it. Like he knows exactly the game he's playing and he's playing it well. And it's terrifying. He doesn't give two shits about Canada. He knows the game. And he knows exactly what he needs to do to get votes, to get seats, etc. etc. It was just like, you know,
yeah,
it's terrifying.
I honestly think that drinking room temperature beer is the worst crime you can commit against humanity. And I would like an official letter from him to confirm that they will be put in the fridge before he drinks them.
All right,
that's all. That's the thing that shocked me the most. Forget Napoleon. Forget
hashtag put the beer in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we'll start a new movement.
Yeah, just and I get it.
No, hashtag Pierre, put the beer in the fridge.
I get it. Somebody gave you some beer for free. You put it on a shelf so everyone knows you're one of the dudes. It's not all suits and speeches. All
right, we're going to start a movement. Everyone go on Twitter.
Also, can I borrow your Einstein book, Pierre? I've got a table with a short leg.
So that was anyway, good.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, what's the call to action for today?
The call to action is, let's get started on that. The call to action is, Wafuckak is coming.
Wafuckak is coming.
You won't have any new normal episodes now until 2023, because Wafuckak is the next episode that will be coming out.
So what is Wafuckak for if there's any new listeners?
The Winter Festival of Unaligned Celebration Advent Calendar. It's basically Christmas, but better.
Way better.
Everybody hates Christmas, a notoriously shit time of the year.
So we
made it better.
3 years ago. Can you believe that? 3 years ago now?
We've aged terribly.
No, 2 years ago.
This is the third annual.
This is the third annual, but it's only been 2 years because it's, yeah, that's right.
No,
that's
this is 3 years later.
No. The first Wafuckak, and then that was a year later was 2021. And then, no. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I love watching you work out how time works.
Hold on. No.
You should write a book. A thick book with Jesse on the side.
It was a year from the first Wafuckak to the second Wafuckak, and it's a year from the second Wafuckak to the third Wafuckak. So it's only been 2 years.
Oh, I know, but it's the third one.
It's the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves watching Jess. He likes watching me work out math. Yeah, that's Jesse's, how time works.
I did notice on one of the shelves there's Jesse's theory of time.
So Reese invented this holiday called Wafuckak where it's an episode every single day about, and it was originally supposed to be a different interesting Canadian political tidbit, and he did it, and it was the most insane amount of work he's ever done, and he's like, that's it, I'm done, we're never doing it again. And I knew from our audience response, I'm like, there's no way that our audience is going to let that pass. And everyone, like a year later, they're all looking forward to Wafuckak. When's Wafuckak coming out? We got to do Wafuckak. Oh yay, Wafuckak, we're getting our boiled ham ready. And I'm like, I knew it, we're gonna have to do Wafuckak every fucking year. And here we are, the third Wafuckak. So there's nothing to do with Canada in this Wafuckak because Reese ran out of ideas. It's all about crazy leaders throughout history.
So welcome to the Canadian Political Show, where we don't talk about anything Canadian or political for the next 25 fucking days.
It is political.
In a row.
They were leaders.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Just, yeah, because we did all Christmas like political stories and winter political stories in the first year. I grabbed what I could in the second year, the dregs of Wafakak
won. The dregs of Wafakak.
And then I thought, well, the third, I want to go best foot forward for the third year. So I was like, well, we need to break free of the shackles of keeping everything about Canada and just have fun.
All right. Well, that's where we go. And it's always a fun time. And there's traditions. There's nightly traditions that come with Wafakak, such as, you know, there's night where you dress up as a knight in shining armor and hang out. And there's
face punching Dave
comes to
who's basically the Wafakak Santa.
Essentially,
he doesn't bring you gifts from the North Pole. He punches you in the face while you sleep.
He punches you awake and then he punches you back to sleep. Yeah.
He does. Yeah. And then just lots of other fun. There's some nights that Jesse hates and I love.
Oh God,
because of animal cruelty. But
yes,
you know, it's heritage. So. Traditional, so
and where we hope that you'll join us for 25 days with Wafakak starting on December 1st, an episode every day. There's some of them are behind a paywall on Patreon. It helps our Patreon grow. Some of them are free.
Every third episode is free. So still a lot of episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of free stuff coming out this December. We'll hope that you join us.
If you do want all 25 episodes, become a patron.
That's right.
And also we do have some cassettes left.
Yeah,
so you'll become a patron, you'll get all of that, and you will get mailed one of our limited edition cassettes.
Actual physical cassette that you need to go and find a cassette player to play one of our podcast episodes that only exists on this cassette. All digital copies have been deleted, and it's about the insane history of the Hudson's Bay Company. It's a great episode.
Yeah, so that's it.
That's
so,
our call to action. That was a long call to action.
I'm going to go home and look at what's on my shelves and see what it says about me.
Okay. Do you have any Einstein books, do you think?
No.
No? Maybe we'll just get like a whole row of Einstein, but the same book.
Over and over and over again.
Look how smart I am.
Every book on Einstein you can find. So there's like kids' books. There's like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Did he just go to Indigo?
And just buy this...
And just like, go, right, what books will make me look smart? I've got a budget of $100. So stupid. Anyway,
yay! I'm looking forward to Wafakak.
If you want us to forensically analyze more videos in the future, let us know. CanadianPolitics is boring at gmail.com. And don't forget, slippers
from Oma.
Etsy.com/shop/Oma's Crafts Canada. And Oma is OMAS. I've been wearing them this whole time, and I got to say, I'm having a great time.
I can't wait to slip into these bad boys at home and slide around my apartment.
Listen to music.
Listen, yeah,
like
exactly.
Risky business. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.